Currently, we have 39 degrees in Lynchburg, 38 in Bedford, 39 in Amherst. We have 38 in Salem and Roanoke, and 38 in Danville.
Okay. So we heard from Lauren Boebert.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about Kamala messed up a layup that ABC gave her.
Well, that's what everybody's saying, that you know, she's even bombing at the layups. I mean, she was being interviewed on ABC by Stephanopoulos. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Could that be any easier?
Right.
I mean, who else is going to, you know, give her any more slack? During the ABC interview, Harris appeared to chuckle, shocking.
Oh, yeah.
When asked whether she felt misused or underused by the Biden administration. That should have been an easy interview. I mean, as we said, a hardcore Democrat that Stephanopoulos is, and he is.
Oh, he is.
That's where you go to clean up things.
Right. He ran the war room for Clinton.
Right.
Said Clinton wasn't liberal enough.
And she couldn't even do that.
Mm.
Clean up aisle Kamala, said one Twitter person.
Wow.
Says, this was by Jesse Waters.
Okay.
Who said the vice president was forced to do her own damage control after a brutal report on dysfunction in her office and allegations of a nasty feud going on between her staff and Joe Biden's White House. That, of course, CNN, they started slinging mud at CNN.
Right,
saying
right, yeah.
That they're sexist and racist and all that,
sure.
Because it couldn't possibly be that they were actually
incompetent,
breaking a legitimate story.
Right.
Because they've always had them kind of in their back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
CNN did report on this, and following the report, the officials sent out tweets praising Harris. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was, and that didn't help at all. I think that just poured fuel on the fire. So I don't think that worked out. Waters said Kamala's team feels like she's being sidelined and saddled with no-win jobs. One of those no-end jobs Harris reportedly hates is being the face of Joe Biden's border disaster.
Right.
She's proving she is way out of her league when it comes to managing that problem. We called that months ago.
A long time ago, yeah.
Jen has implied that racism and sexism
work. Yeah.
Yes.
It's always at work.
Right.
Man, they got good jobs, don't they? That racism and...
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're working all the time.
Apparently, Jen only has two cards to play, though. You think she'd have a little more in her deck, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Harris polled at 28%.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 points worse than Biden, who, based on a story we did last week, has the worst presidential ratings of any of the... I mean, he was lower than the top 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even Trump was doing better at this point.
Oh, all of them.
Yeah.
Trump, Obama, Clinton, Reagan, the Bushes.
Mm-hmm.
Carter, for Pete's
sake. Jimmy,
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, the peanut
butter. Well, I mean, just the whole economic fiasco that was Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it.
That we're pretty much repeating right now.
Here's a little bit of Georgie Porgy.
Good to be with you. Thank you, George.
You know that as Americans are feeling pretty sour about the economy as we head into the holidays, it's going to cost more to drive home for Thanksgiving, more to put the turkey on the table, more to buy gifts for the kids at Christmas. What can you do about these high prices? How long is it going to take?
Well, first of all, it's real, and it's rough. Groceries, the cost of groceries has gone up. The cost of gas has gone up. As this is all happening in the context of 2 years of a pandemic, it's one of the highest priorities actually for the president and for me. And so we're dealing with this issue in a number of ways. Short term, one of the issues is the supply chain. We're seeing a bottleneck and we need to relieve that bottleneck. So we brought together everyone from the Teamsters to Target to say, hey, let's all bring everyone together, from the truckers to the folks who are moving product, and let's open up some of our major ports for work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's happening and we're seeing great results. Long term, we need to bring down the cost of living. And that's a long-standing issue. And so we passed this week the infrastructure bill, bipartisan infrastructure bill, and that's going to be about repairing roads and bridges and bringing high-speed internet to all families. But also we need to deal with the cost of childcare, the cost of prescription drugs, the cost of housing. And that's what we intend to do when we get the Build Back Better agenda passed.
But is
the Build Back Broke Back Better pack. So in other words,
such a joke.
Trillions of dollars. I mean, what we've spent even under Trump that last year with the pandemic, we've infused now or we've begun to infuse about $5 trillion, and they want to ask for about another $4 trillion. I mean, that's real money.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. it's a mess. That was, and she just goes on, and it doesn't, they never really, she's stating a fact. She's stating what we already know.
Right.
Give us something. Wake up.
Joe Biden is quickly becoming the greatest threat to small businesses since Fauci's fraud. While small businesses across my district, across America, are struggling to find workers, struggling to stay open, Joe Biden is struggling to stay awake.
Wow. I like her.
Yeah, well.
I like her.
She cuts to the chase, doesn't she?
She does.
Well, we've been talking about schools across the country and some of the battles that parents are having to take on, being called all kinds of names, domestic terrorists,
right,
and things of that nature. Now, a member of the Fort Worth, Texas School Board's Racial Equity Committee.
Oh, boy.
There you go. Has doxed parents by publishing their addresses and their phone numbers online.
So the school board, member of the school board.
She is a member of the Racial Equity Committee that advises the
school,
board.
Okay. So an underling of the school board.
Yeah. Garcia Lopez. Norma Garcia Lopez does not serve on the school board, but the Racial Equity Committee advises the board, and board members appointed her to the committee. Some board members serve with her on the committee.
I want to know her address.
Well, Carrie Reimer, a Fort Worth mother, who was one who sued the school district to block a mask mandate, told Fox News that this woman doxed her. She said in her doxing, "Internet, do your thing. After that, I had 17 voicemails on my work from one person." Reinheimer also says Garcia Lopez had left her a profanity-laced voicemail as well.
Mm.
She said that this woman had singled her out because she and other parents opposed critical race theory. We all know what that is.
Sure.
And because they sued the school district challenging the COVID-19 mask mandate. In August, a court granted a temporary injunction against the mandate, but the school district had twice appealed the case in higher court. When the judge granted the first injunction, Garcia Lopez took to Twitter to speak to Reinheimer and her fellow parents. This is what she said. "It's astounding what the white privilege power from Tanglewood has versus a whole diverse community that cares for the well-being of others," Garcia Lopez wrote. "These are their names." She goes on to list them.
Wow.
Along with their phone numbers and their addresses, along with "Internet, do your thing."
Mm-hmm.
While Garcia Lopez has made most of her posts on Facebook and Twitter private, Reinheimer provided screenshots of her post with Fox News. She went on to share the phone number and address of Traeger along with their employers, with her employer. Hmm. They gave her employer information too, her phone number and her work email address.
Wow. Yeah, they've got to start writing legislation. Each state needs a bit of federal law that this is breaking the law when you do something like that. When you expose someone for harm. What do you think "Internet, do your thing" means?
Right.
It means,
we know what that means.
It means splash them, find out where they live,
harass
egg their
them,
house,
make
harass
them miserable.
When they exactly harass their kids,
shut them down, shut down their voice, yeah. shut down their freedom to
the
speak.
The exact thing they accuse us of.
And make no mistake about it, it's wrong on either side.
Right. Oh, exactly. It's wrong across the board.
It's wrong across the board. Yep. And if they're doing that to teachers and to board members, also wrong.
Exactly.
Because those folks have public information
sure.
that you can access. If you want to do that, you can do that on your own.
Yeah.
One person responded thanking her for posting it, and she wrote, "They definitely need to be called out." They even shared some media post in which the woman mocks Texas Governor Greg Abbott for needing a wheelchair.
Oh boy.
In which she retweeted a race-themed attack on opponents of mask mandates. "Y'all had no problem wearing masks when you were burning crosses on our lawns,
wow.
bombing our churches, and lynching black people."
Oh, yeah, because that's still going on, you know.
All right, so there is a very, very good chance that this woman is going to be able to be sued,
yeah.
I would think.
Oh, I would hope.
Needless to say, she didn't respond
right.
for a request for comment there.
Exactly. That's bullying. We condemn it when it happens to kids. You're bullying them online.
But bullying kids grow up to be bullying adults.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the first time I had an experience with an older person that was just mean and unkind. I was really young,
mm-hmm.
and I had a friend say, "Janet, come on. This isn't your grandma. This isn't your mamaw."
Mm-hmm.
You know, young a-holes grow up to be old a-holes. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just how it works.
Yeah.
For you to expect anything different is kind of Disney-like for you.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, I have issues with that. I do like to live in a Disney world sometimes.
Yeah, well.
Just doesn't happen that mm-hmm. often.
If it wasn't for people.
That's right. We'll be back with some more Friday Funnies on the way.
I have some breaking news first,
yeah?
though.
All
right. Breaking news for those of you that have followed my Christmas tree adventure for the last, well, how many months are we in? 10 months,
well,
11 months?
We're
in the 11th month.
We are.
I was down to one strand of lights.
Yes.
For the last 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Last night, while looking for the cat that was lost for, I don't know, 18 hours.
Yeah.
Kara said to me, "Look at the Christmas lights. Did you know that they're burning very bright right now?"
Uh-huh.
That usually means they're ready to go
soon.
Out.
Oh.
She just sent me a picture during your last story, Janet.
Okay.
They added it. Here, I'm gonna.
It's all gone.
That's it.
Wow.
The last string of lights have gone out, which means I have to take my Christmas tree down.
Right.
Now, we're only a week away
from putting your Christmas
actually
tree
putting
back
it up.
Right.
I want to know what you think.
I cannot believe you
should
left
do.
It up.
The last
long.
Strand is gone.
You have to take it down because you got to get all those lights off of it.
Well, no, I don't have to take it down. I'm taking a pair of scissors and I'm cutting those lights and just literally just throwing them out.
I can't believe she let you leave that thing up all year. That would drive me crazy.
That is our breaking news story on this Friday.
This is CNN.
My proud father-son moment when he came home. He was like, "Dad, can you help me with my homework?" So I did. I helped him with all the problems. I was excited. I'm like, "This is good quality time, you know." So I said, "We're going to make something out of this." He came home the next day. I was like, "Son, what's up, man? You ready?" He was like, "Dad, man, you is stupid." I'm like, "What?" He said, "Man, every problem you helped me with was wrong." I said, "You know, it was about the quality time, I thought. I thought that's right. I am a comedian, after all." You know what I mean?
Math is hard. I'm just saying.
That's why my wife does the checkbook.
Oh, my word. Well, now they do math so weird.
Yeah, well, and it's racist, too. I hate to bring that into the picture, but math is racist. They've concluded.
It is, and why is it racist?
I haven't heard the reasons, but it is. Yeah, we had a guy that...
You can't just drop a bomb like that and then leave
me
hanging.
Well, I'm sorry. I will try to find the teacher that came out that said that they managed to work CRT into every subject, even math.
Well, I'm sure that's probably true.
Yeah.
No doubt. We got a text in that says, I suggest we need daily updates on the saga of the epic tale of Mark's tree. I know there are thousands waiting with giddy anticipation of the next installment. I appreciate the snarkiness of that text. I do.
Well, it was a big deal, and I kept our listeners up to date, and I'm glad that that we were able to bring it to some kind of climactic ending. Literally a week before. This is like at the 11th hour.
Right.
I mean, it was quarter till midnight.
It could go all the way.
The nuclear clock was just about ready to blow.
So is what's Kara going to want you to do? Is she going to want you to take it down? Or are you just going to decorate it?
I think she's going to let me leave it up.
Look, I'm on number three. I know, you've already.
This week,
I've done a tree a day.
Yeah.
Since Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think I'm going to wait to do my last ones.
Okay.
And then after, I'll wait till after Thanksgiving after I do that. Because I like to have, Thanksgiving needs its day.
Right.
So.
I want to deliver here for you, Janet.
Okay.
These are two African-American people. The host is black, and the lady he is interviewing is black.
The curriculum would bring social justice to math classes across California's K-12 public education. Here to react, former professor, Dr. Carol Swain. Doctor, thank you so much for joining the program. We've heard these theories before, that black kids, brown kids in community, they can't learn. The standards need to be changed. We know that's false because the charter schools, Capital Prep, Khan Academy, took those same schools out of those poor neighborhoods, turned them to A students. They all got free rides to college. Mm-hmm. So what is the goal of this program?
Well, I can tell you the goal of the program is to push critical race theory under the guise of mathematics. And if you look at that Oakland school district, the students have a 27% proficiency rate in math.
Yikes.
It's 90% minority. What will happen if this is implemented? That proficiency rate will drop even lower. It will destroy opportunities for minority students.
And that's her main concern. She wants to see minority students succeed. But because they're so incompetent out there in Oakland, because you would push them, that would sort of turn it into a racist issue. Because they don't do well in it. So let's not make them succeed, when these charter schools have taken the same kids that were failing in public government schools.
And what does that tell us? That tells us that you look for the common denominator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not the children.
Right. It's the schools.
Well, it just seems like they're trying to make everything. So Randy said, lower than 28%. That's getting into Kamala territory. Isn't it, though? Of course, the other thing is that their answer is you move the goalposts. You move it closer.
You lower the standards. And then when these kids can't make it on a job, they will inevitably, they want to survive. Some of them turn to crime.
Right.
That's an easier way.
Mm-hmm.
And, education truly is one of the big answers for any kid. I don't care what 100%. Color you are.
But that takes a combination of factors. You've got to get the family engaged.
Yes.
So they've got to be encouraged across the board.
Mm-hmm.
They also have to be empowered. You're going to get what you expect out of children.
Right.
And if they think you expect them to fail, they will not disappoint you. They will fail.
Right.
They just will.
Sure.
If you act like they're a burden, they're not smart enough, they're not, yeah, they'll believe that. If they're fed a steady diet of that, they'll absolutely believe it. And, of course, everything is coming down to race and ethnicity right now. It seems like lawmakers in Virginia are about to consider legislation that would change the kind of information that is on your driver's license.
Okay. I'm all ears.
So we know that we have our height, the color of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a weight on there that's probably not accurate for anybody. And a nice hologram image of you on clear plastic.
Sure.
All right. It does not include your race or ethnicity.
Okay.
That's something State Senator Adam Eben of Alexandria wants to change.
He wants to put that on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
He says the idea is to make sure data is being collected about traffic stops to prevent racial profiling.
Okay, that's the reason behind it.
Rather than have officers ask members of the public during what could be a tense time for their racial background, it would already be available to them.
Okay.
Arlington County Board Member Matt DeFerranti says it's an idea that has support of his local police department and his local NAACP. We do have two key stakeholders that don't always agree that support it, so we're pleased to be working with Senator Eben and others to try to make this common sense, smart step that can be help us get the good data.
Okay.
Back in 2020, the new Democratic majority of the General Assembly passed a law requiring law enforcement officials to record racial and ethnic information about traffic stops. He says this change to the driver's license will make it easier for them to collect the information.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I don't think it's a good idea.
I mean, so you can literally, before you even pull anybody over, you can pull up their information like, I know they're breaking the law, but I've already pulled over too many people of color.
Right.
So we'll have to let that go.
You met the other kind of a quota.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're only allowed to have a, that's what'll come
that's
next.
That's exactly what's coming.
They're only 20% of the population.
100%, that's what's coming.
This particular ethnic group.
Right.
So therefore, they should only be 20% of the tickets you write.
I don't want to get called in. I want to get called into the office.
Because that's equity.
I know this is reckless driving, but you know, he's a young man of color.
He smelled like he might have had
marijuana
or beer or something. Yeah,
that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's racial profiling in a completely backwards
way. Yep.
And we're seeing it even here locally,
mm-hmm.
where it's like they're trying to go out of their way to prove that they're not racist, so they're letting them get by with crazy stuff.
Right.
All young people, all colors.
And it's just like anything. There's a threshold. Well, that crazy is not crazy enough anymore. Therefore, I will go crazier. And next thing you know, somebody ends up dead.
Mm.
That's where it leads. It is 8:31.
Currently 39 degrees in Salem and Roanoke, 41 in Danville, 39 in Bedford, 40 in Lynchburg.
Whoops, sorry. That was my mouse. He likes to talk during the show.
Does he now?
He does now.
Got it.
Roanoke-Lynchburg airports. Officials say Thanksgiving travel is going to increase this year. I think it's mainly because we have a vaccine in place. It says the gates at local airports will be filling up soon with only a week until Thanksgiving. Officials in Roanoke and Lynchburg say that, you know, it's a lot of people, TSA saying, especially in Roanoke, because they've had two guns come through recently through the TSA, that they're making sure of every member that is coming through those doors to get on those airplanes. So make sure you leave yourself enough time, a little bit more than normal, because they are checking everything as you get into this, this little tin can they call an airplane. So flying for Thanksgiving, give yourself, I would say, an extra at least half hour to an hour when you go to the airport. Now, these airports aren't big airports. A lot of times you can get 45 minutes early and be okay to get on your plane in time, Janet. I'd say just give yourself a little bit more margin. My wife says margin makes moments. And that moment could be you being able to catch your plane because the lines weren't so long in this case.
Parkview Community Mission is asking for donations as they see an influx of people who are needing winter clothes. The Lynchburg-based nonprofit runs the Clothing Connection that provides a retail shopping experience. Every item is donated and free. That means a whole lot get to come here because they wouldn't have the money to shop for other places. One of the people who was there shopping, a retired educator shopping for her family and friends there. Executive Director Todd Blake says the organization is trying to keep up with demand. He says we consider everyone that comes through the doors our neighbors,
mm-hmm.
whether they're looking for clothes or they're donating them. The need in the community has forced them to keep their doors open longer hours from 2 days a week to Monday through Friday. Says we have a lot of coats coming in, but we have just as many, if not more, going out.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 pounds of clothes were taken in 1 week, and then they gave away 3,000 pounds.
Wow.
As they are continuing to get donations. He says what they really need are accessories like gloves and hats.
Okay.
So if you're looking to donate, you might want to consider gloves and hats.
Okay.
Says all of these items are needed. Everyone will find good homes. And he says with the holiday approaching, gift giving wouldn't be the same without the help. I wouldn't be looking at anything for family and friends because I just couldn't pay for them. Said one of their customers. The Clothing Connection is located in the Plaza Shopping Center in Lynchburg. It's open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9 to 3.
Okay. 866-916-3776 is our toll-free number. We have Timothy calling in for the first time listening to us on 99.5 Roanoke WGMN. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you've been listening for how long?
Probably just the last year, to be honest.
Okay.
I didn't find you guys till the last year.
Well, we went on about a year ago.
Yeah.
We're going on about a year.
Yeah, so that's
okay.
Cool.
We're glad you're listening.
Yeah, so what's on your mind this morning?
I just, yesterday and today, I've heard you guys talking about the police officers and the struggle to get officers. And I retired from the military about 2 years ago, and obviously, a lot of military guys are police officers.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I served with a lot of them, and you know, they're really under a huge struggle every single day to accomplish their job. And you know, not long ago, they made them start wearing body cams. There was a big push for that, for every officer to wear body cams, and I think that was because they wanted to prove the officers were not doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But you've not
but
heard
it's been,
anything
it's
about
been the,
the
opposite
body cams because mm-hmm. I think they're doing a great job, and we don't want to put that on the national news to show what they deal with every day
mm-hmm.
compared to how many incidents there are where the police are not doing a good job. So
you know, it's interesting that you say that, because when that first started to come out, I was in talk radio. This was before Mark and I started working together, and I said at the time, I'm all for body cams. If anything,
right.
That's going to protect our police officers.
That's exactly right.
Because so many lies are told. I've seen it. I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's not a lot of talk about body cams on the news anymore.
Right.
I'm not sure what the next thing is, but I appreciate you guys and what you do. And also, I just want to give a shout out to all of our police officers for everything they put up with.
Yes.
Well, Timothy, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, bud. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend mm-hmm. and a good Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you guys, too.
Bye-bye.
And it is interesting because we were talking about that whole ethnic thing that they're wanting to do on the driver's license.
Right.
And I made the comment that it's gonna skew mm-hmm. the way an officer looks at information, and it shouldn't.
Right.
You're either obeying the law or you're breaking the law.
Right.
Their only concern needs to be whether or not you're obeying the laws mm-hmm. or breaking the laws. That shouldn't even be a factor.
Yeah, shouldn't. You're right.
And yet, that's going to be the first thing they see. Hmm. And it's impossible for it not to impact them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's going to go against all human nature. Mm-hmm. And again, I know of situations right here in our area where normally the officers would be like, you know, okay, let's go and do this. But because of the race of the people involved,
right.
The social economic background, mm-hmm. They're completely like, oh, well, you know, okay, well, we're going to give a pass. Or even if something ridiculous is said,
mm-hmm.
they'll give it credence.
Right.
Even though it's absurd.
Right.
And
right.
There's camera footage showing what happened.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. telling you. I feel, and for those of you who are serving in law enforcement and you're able to stay sane and and keep true to what you're supposed to be doing, I do commend you for
sure.
Sure,
yeah, no doubt about it. We do appreciate it. You leave your house every day not knowing.
Especially now.
Yeah, because, well, we talked about policemen and policewomen being ambushed. I mean, it's a kind of a chaotic time mm-hmm. right now to be a policeman. And of course, during the riots of 1 year ago, you know, how many policemen lost their lives. And then we're sitting on a potential, you know, powder keg with the Kenosha verdict coming down the line. whether that city's going to burn. And I can predict pretty much right here, if Kenosha burns again, you're going to see Seattle pop up again. You're going to see Portland pop up again. You're going to see big cities potentially like we did a year ago.
What I'm going to find interesting is if they get all worked up about this, mm-hmm. if this is the BLM people getting all worked up
right.
over two white just thugs
right.
getting shot, how does that make any sense at all?
Well, they've couched it in such a way that if you didn't know any better, you would have thought this guy went out looking and killing African-American people. And that's not the case.
It's just not true.
Yeah. So.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So have you ever had any critter take up residence in your house? We had a flying squirrel one time.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He kind of made himself at home.
Okay.
We've had situations with snakes under the porch.
Right.
And raccoons okay. that, mm-hmm. you know, have made themselves at home.
Right.
One Virginia homeowner found, there was a man living under their house. It was a human being.
A man?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Under their house.
Uh-huh. For weeks.
Okay.
Weeks and weeks.
Wow.
So the police are showing up at my house saying that someone drove by and saw a man
mm-hmm.
get out of my crawl space with a pillow.
Oh, come on.
Casey Falls is the homeowner. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
A stranger called the police when driving by after realizing something was wrong. In the 911 call, he says, there's a guy coming out of one of the houses, like the crawl space. Like it was really weird because he had a backpack and pillows.
Oh, Lord.
The stranger said in a call to the police, I don't know if somebody's living under the person's house or, I mean, do they know that they're living under their house? Casey, her sister, and her two children, and Casey's best friend, they did not know. She says it's scary that he was just living there and I didn't have any idea.
Oh my gosh.
After learning somebody was living under their house, things started to add up. Apparently her four-year-old kept running into her room saying she was hearing noises.
Okay.
There's a dude under your
sure.
floorboards. So police who arrived on the scene never found the man with a backpack and the pillows.
Okay.
The situation has the neighbors looking out for each other, upgrading that security.
How?
The homeowner believes the unknown roommate may have been under the house for 2 or 3 weeks. Apparently, they had seen some things in retrospect that made them wonder if things weren't right.
That is bizarre.
It's confession time.
Oh, okay.
I got a little bit of a confession.
Okay, tell me.
When I worked at WGOL, when it was over on Memorial Avenue.
I used to work there in the late 80s, yeah. I remember.
On Memorial?
Well, no, I didn't work at
your
that.
Radio
lane. But I helped them move over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we were on Memorial Avenue. There mm-hmm. were some transient people in there, some homeless people
okay.
in that area.
Right.
There was one man, and it was cold. It was really, really cold out. And he was sleeping in the bathroom downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd and I knew he was doing this because we saw him every morning because we were there really early. He
right.
would come in,
right.
he would hide, they'd lock the doors,
yeah.
and he would sleep, and then he would get it. Here's the thing. He was bathing himself,
okay.
and he would put on a suit,
oh,
and he would go
wow.
out looking for a job every day.
Wow.
And he had all of his stuff with him. And we just could not bring ourselves to say anything.
Wow.
He wasn't hurting anything.
Sure, he's
He
trying.
Wasn't hurting anybody.
Right.
He was trying to get back on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched that man for 2 weeks.
Oh,
and
my.
Finally, because we even started like leaving things, like we'd leave some food or we
okay.
would leave, you know,
mm-hmm.
a blanket, things like that.
Right.
And then after a couple of weeks, he looked like he got a job.
Okay.
And he was able to go out or move on.
Right.
But,
Have you ever seen the movie The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith?
And I just bawled and cried because it reminded me of that
sure.
man. Now, this was years before that movie came
right.
out.
Right.
But
you want a good movie. That is a good movie.
But I can't bear it. I
yeah.
cannot bear it.
Mm-hmm.
It just kills me.
Wow.
To watch it. But he was, I don't know. So I wonder if this guy was like that. Was he just trying to stay warm and safe?
Sure.
probably harmless.
Right.
You know, not that you can, not that you should be able to do that, but you know what I'm saying?
No, I
he probably was harmless. Maybe. I mean, yeah. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm such a sucker.
Well, no, I mean, for that, I'll be a sucker right there with you.
A single woman with kids, though, that's scary.
Yeah, sure.
You just don't know what's going to happen.
It's time for Janet's 5 and Dine on the Morning Jam. Give her 5 minutes, and she'll give you some great inspiration for a delicious meal tonight.
5 and Dine is brought to you by our friends at F&L Market. They're located on Memorial Avenue in Lynchburg, and they are cutting and grinding fresh meats every single day. They carry everything you need to have a very well-stocked pantry, and they'll get you ready for the holidays as well. Sign up to be a VIP customer, and you'll get some special coupons sent directly to your phone, and you'll find out about the latest deals before anybody else will. Today, I'm sharing a recipe for old-fashioned sweet potato biscuits. They are delicious. They're great on your appetizer table. With just a little bit of country ham, so you can make them small and use them that way. Or they're great in your bread basket on your Thanksgiving table. You're going to start with some self-rising flour. And it already has your baking powder and a bit of salt already added in it. And it's going to make for a really fluffy biscuit. You're going to put in a little bit of sugar in that as well. And you're going to mix it all together. And you're going to use a pastry blender to cut in some very cold butter. After that, you're going to whisk together some mashed sweet potatoes and buttermilk. Now, I like to bake the sweet potatoes and then get the middle out and then add that to the buttermilk. You have to use buttermilk. Don't use regular milk, though, because that's not going to work out for you. So you make the sweet potato mixture and your buttermilk. You're going to mix that in with the flour mixture, and then you're going to turn that out over on your counter, your dusted flour counter, and then you're going to fold over your dough about 4 times. You don't want to do it too little. You don't want to do it too much. You got to get it just right so they're nice and fluffy. So I usually go with 4 turns. Then you're going to pat it out into an inch thickness and use a biscuit cutter to cut out the rounds. Arrange it on parchment paper, lined or greased cast iron skillet, or a round cake pan with the sides touching. You're going to want all those sides touching. After that, you're going to freeze it for about 10 to 15 minutes so that dough gets really, really cold while you preheat your oven. Then you'll bake at 450 degrees for 15 to 20 minutes. The biscuits are done when the tops are golden brown, and you can see that the inside layer is cooked through. You don't want it doughy. Once they come out of the oven, you brush those biscuits with some melted butter. And you know what's really good on them is hot honey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
We got to talk to our honey guy.
I know.
He's kind of behind right now.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We need Christmas honey right now. I mean, we're heading into the cold season.
Tis the season.
Tis the season for hot toddies with honey.
That's
local
right.
Honey, I might add.
Oh, you want to see this recipe? Go to Facebook. Type in Janet's 5 and Dine. You'll find all the recipes that we share here on the Morning Jam, brought to you by F&L Market, where their meats are a cut above.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I come from a long line of Southern cooks, and one thing my mama always told me was ingredients matter. That's why I trust the experienced butchers at F&L Market, Lynchburg's only locally and family-owned independent grocery store. Their staff cuts and grinds fresh meats daily and will offer you the personal service you desire for everyday meals or special occasions. This week at F&L Market, save on Thanksgiving staples like Sugar Tree Spiral Sliced Hams, $2.19 a pound. North Carolina sweet potatoes are 69 cents a pound. Duncan Hines cake mix is 99 cents with the frosting 2 for $3. And grade A large eggs are $1.49. F&L Market is closed on Thanksgiving Day, and they wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. Become a VIP Savings Text Club member by texting FL Market to 833-605-1804. Stop by F&L Market today, 2517 Memorial Avenue, Lynchburg. Their meat is a cut above.
I do. I know I'm not the only one, Utah. I love food. Like, you know you love food, sir, when you cooking breakfast thinking about what you're going to eat for dinner. You know what I mean, right, sir? You know? I love it, man. You know you love food when you dancing when you cooking dinner. Mm-hmm. Right? You would be cooking dinner, you taste the spaghetti, you like, oh my God. And of course dancers are pretty generation. Like, you know.
It's true.
True.
I get pretty excited if it's
you were dancing yesterday, according to what you were talking about.
I was. Mm-hmm. I've been playing musicals all week this week, mm-hmm. as I've decorated and stuff.
Right.
Yesterday it was Hairspray. Oh. I know all the words to all those songs.
Do you really? Mm-hmm. Oh, geez.
Yep. It's true.
Hey, calling in from Forest for the first time. Walt calling into the show. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to thank you all for being there and expressing the things you do each time. But last night, we sat up and we watched the House proceedings, mm-hmm. and Kevin McCarthy was on there.
Yeah, he did a filibuster.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, he did like a filibuster they do in the Senate.
He certainly did, and he took and covered the whole gambit of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I just pray all the Democrats left. They didn't stay for. We were there till 3 o'clock at least.
Wow.
And it was really something, and that guy really did a superb job. I'm going to call him up and put a good news push on him.
Good for you. He needs it because he's exhausted today, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I sure hope he is our Speaker of the House before this administration.
It's a shame that people don't watch more what's going on with our government.
Yeah. Right. No, you're absolutely right. We would be shocked if we knew.
Yeah. I'm going to let you guys go because I know it's the end of the show, but thanks for being there, and we really appreciate you.
Hey, wow. Appreciate you too, Walt. Thanks for calling in, bud.
God bless.
You
bye
too.
Bye.
You too. God bless you.
I commend him for, you know, sometimes it's really good to get worked up over something, mm-hmm. and then we speak out. But it's also good if we have a good representative, if we have somebody in Washington, in mm-hmm. Richmond,
right.
fighting the good fight, it is just as important for you to encourage those people.
Absolutely.
As it is for you to criticize those who are doing the damage.
Right.
So he is absolutely on board with that one.
I called Joe Manchin's office about 2 weeks ago, just thanking him for standing firm with mm-hmm. what he believes. I said, I'm not even in your state. I'm in your
right.
neighboring state.
That's right.
But I do appreciate you because I can't imagine the pressure it's on you. You know, I left him a nice message. And
hey, I have a tragic story to
oh,
tell
no.
you.
Oh,
no. It's pretty tragic. It's tragic. Oh, it took place in my home state.
Okay.
Murfreesboro. I'm very familiar with Murfreesboro.
Tennessee.
Been
yeah.
there many times. Mm-hmm. They lost 400,000 gallons of Jack Daniel's whiskey.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Happened yesterday morning.
How?
$400,000 worth of whiskey shifted as a semi-truck was turning onto the ramp of I-24. It overturned and the whiskey was seen pouring out of containers as wreckers were trying to upright it.
Holy
Police
cow.
Police say the driver was not injured in the crash.
Thank God.
A load of whiskey was heading to Nashville to be shipped to Israel, according to the police.
Wow, it was being shipped to Israel? That's
that's groundbreaking.
That's groundbreaking news.
$400,000 worth of whiskey.
Wow,
that is crazy.
So we know how much is in a truckload.
I guess so.
Now we can tell.
I guess
there
we
goes
do.
Another 400K down the road.
That's impressive.
Wow.
And
sad.
Tragic.
That's
all
sad.
The way around.
Yeah.
So there was a man in China.
Right.
He's been banned from a barbecue buffet.
Okay.
Let me just say,
jeez.
I had to go to a buffet.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago because my cousin wanted to go to it.
Right,
I don't
right.
do buffets.
Right.
They make me ill just watching people sometimes. This
right.
guy, I know I couldn't be around.
Right.
The man known only as Mr. Kang is a food live streamer. He was banned from the seafood buffet in Changsha City after binge eating multiple times.
A food live streamer.
Yeah.
What does he wear, a body cam while he eats?
I don't know, I guess.
That's weird.
He estimates he ate about 3 pounds of pork trotters the first time he was there. He went back and had approximately 10 pounds of prawns.
Wow.
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
And he says the restaurant's discriminating against him because he can eat a lot. I can eat a lot. Is that a fault? He said he didn't waste any of the food. The owner said he's losing too much money on Mr. Kang.
Wow. He's made the haul.
Well, they always make money on me, I can tell you.
Wall of shame. Well, yeah. Nowadays they make money on me. Hey, by the way, make today awesome. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening to The Morning Jam, Janet.
See you Monday.
Yep.